at the end of our series on the subject, whatever spiritual family needs. We said this lesson, every spiritual family needs open hearts and open hearts of love. We defined agape love as being the most demanding of God's love as we see in Scripture, and that this love is unconditional. This unconditional love towards our enemies, according to Matthew 5:44. We said it's also sacrificial. 1 John 4:10 says he loved us and sent his son. Sacrificially, Jesus gave himself, the godly for the ungodly, the righteous for the unrighteous. And we also said it's selfless. Selfless means we speak of selfless and others. In humility come others more significant, according to Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 3. And we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the love chapter. Welcome back. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude, it rejoices with or in the truth. Love bears, believes, hopes, endures all things. These passages are perhaps familiar to many of us, but in a practical sense, all of us will be challenged in our day-to-day lives, in one way or the other. It's easy to love people who love us back, but what about the unlovable? Those people who challenge us or perhaps have wronged us in some way, shape, or form. We said that love is an action. Love is an action. Love is a decision. It's not an emotion. Because sometimes the Bible says the heart is deceptive. Yeah? Because our heart may say one thing, and then we find out the reality is something else. We've all been down that road before. All of us have been hurt. All of us have habits. All of us have hang-ups. And all of us, in some way, shape, or form, just like Judas in the Bible, we have all betrayed Jesus in some way, shape, or form. And what we see in Scripture, these things are not just put in the Bible for our entertainment, but the reality of the life that we must try to live. It's very difficult. Very difficult, especially when it's close to home. We make that signal. You hear people say the signal. I never thought. I'm shocked. I would never thought X, Y, Z. You see, and so we want to use as a case study the parable of the Good Samaritan. We find that in Luke chapter 10. Verses 25 to 37. Can we get a volunteer to read those verses? Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37.
Passed by on the other side. a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And tomorrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? That 7. And he said, give the shield mercy on him. Then said so unto him, go and do thou likewise.
Go and do likewise. What do you see in these verses? What do you see in these verses? So who asks a question? Who asks a question of Jesus in verse 35? It says a certain lawyer. What's a lawyer? What is a lawyer? What should a lawyer know?
He needs law.
He should know the law. So the lawyer is asking the lawgiver a question. Isn't that something? And the Bible says, why did he ask this question of Jesus? Why did he ask Jesus this question? The Bible tells us in verse 29.
To justify himself.
To justify himself. You know, sometimes we ask some questions, but we don't really want the answer, do we? We're just asking because we already know the answer. So you come and ask Jesus a question, and Jesus is going to ask you, let me ask you a question. A certain lawyer stood up and tested. Anybody ever put Jesus to the test? You ever put Jesus? We all put Jesus to the test. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. You ever have a feeling or thought that a decision that you are about to make is not the right decision, but you still make that decision? That's when you put Jesus to the test. You already know this is not going to work out, but you still do. I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm still going to do it. Stood up to test him. And he said, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Was that the real question? That wasn't the real question, was it? And he said to him, what is written in the law, and what is your reading of it? What does that mean? There's 2 questions. What do those 2 questions mean? You tell me. You tell me. Parents, your children do that to you all the time. Dad, can I go to that party? Why they ask you that question? To test you. To see what? Is he gonna change his mind? Is he gonna change his mind? Because you already know that your parents' position, you already know God's position on this particular subject, but I'm gonna try to test him out. Dad, I cleaned up my room. I've been good all week. I ain't been no problems. What is your interpretation of it? He said in verse 27, you shall love the Lord your God with how much? All your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And what else? And your strength, and your what? And your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? The person sitting next to you is your neighbor. Your coworker, the person on the bus, the next door neighbor, bus driver. Who is your neighbor? That's where Robin makes the rule. So he says, oh, you don't have this. Well, let me illustrate it for you. But he wanting to justify himself, verse 29, said to Jesus, "And who? Who's my neighbor? Huh? Who's my neighbor? Let me show you who your neighbor is. Let me throw this up to you." And he said to him, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." He was in a bad state. Couldn't help himself. All of us have been this man, or will be. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, what did he do? What did he do? He passed by on the other side. You ever see an accident? Something's going on. You're driving along. What are you doing? What are you doing as you're driving along? Yep. Have you got my phone on? Because I don't want to miss this. I wonder what's going on. And then it says, likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came, and what did he look? He looked. And what did he do? Pass be not, O gentle Savior. Who do these two men represent? Religious folk. That's not my business. I'm not going to get involved. But a certain Samaritan. Who were the Samaritans? Who were the Samaritans? Somebody tell me. Who were the Samaritans? The Samaritans were... Who were the Samaritans, George?
Yeah, the missing Jews.
They were half-breeds.
Yeah.
They were not considered to be Jews. Did the Jews like the Samaritans?
No.
Yeah. Look down on them. There's all folk. There's Samaritans in every country. Did you know that? There's Samaritans everywhere you go, there's Samaritans. Folk that don't look like us, that don't act like us. No? A Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, what did he do? He had
compassion.
So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. But the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you need or you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Well, you have the answer. And he said to him, "He who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Go and do. Go and do likewise. Motivated by compassion. What is compassion? What do we say compassion means? Compassion.
Your pain
in my heart. Your pain in my heart. There's a difference. Sympathy and compassion are not the same thing. Sympathy and compassion are not the same thing. I can be sympathetic, but I really don't have a feeling. You have my sympathy, Brother George, but compassion is where you have that feeling in your gut. When you hear some bad news or you see a situation, you think, "Bam, I need to do something." Yeah? So Samaritan was moved with compassion, the scripture says. Where? Which heart? This one? No, here. Let not your heart be troubled. When seeing the injured man, which prompted his what? That should be Luke 10. Prompted his actions. CIA. Love is CIA, compassion in action. Actions, what actions did we see in scripture of kindness and care? What did we see? First of all, he tended to the wounds of this man with oil and wine. time was providing immediate physical aid in the hospital. In the hospital, you've got a wound. What's the first thing that needs to be done? It needs to be irrigated. You need to get all foreign substances out of it so that healing can be. And that's the same thing in the spiritual sense too. We need to get all the, that's why Romans 12 says, be transformed by the renewing. That's a cleansing. That's a spiritual cleansing. Just like in the physical, the spiritual as well. Which provides immediate physical aid. Number two, putting the man on his own animal. His own, what do we say? It's not a sacrifice until he got off of his animal and put the wounded man on that animal. And what did he have to do to get into the inn? He had to walk. He had to walk. Yeah. That's Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. They had all things in common. What did they do? They sold their goods and gave to each one as he had need. And so, which sacrificed his own comfort and means of transport. I see a situation, I have the ability to do something about it, and what do? I act. Number three, taking him to an inn, which provided what? Shelter and continued care. Isn't it James that says, if I see my brother in need and I say he won't feel, I'm going to pray for you. Have I done anything? Have I done anything? No. And then paying for his stay and promising further help. Promising further help, which extended his commitment beyond the immediate act. Extended his commitment beyond the immediate act. If I am hungry today, what's the possibility that I'm going to be hungry tomorrow and the day after? Huh? You see? So, service. What did Jesus come? Jesus did not come, the scriptures say, to be served, but to give himself as a what?
Ransom.
A ransom. What does ransom mean? You know, we use these words, but what does ransom mean? Ransom. You see on the movies, I've kidnapped Margaret. I kidnapped Margaret. And now you're waiting for the phone call for what? The ransom. How much do you need to pay to do what? What's the ransom for? To get her back. Trading Margaret right there. Huh? Well, so ransom. Jesus gave his life as a ransom for you. Ransom means so something, just a transaction. Rescue by ransom. You were Satan's prisoner. And Jesus says, I'll pay the ransom. Why did he do that? Agape. Yeah. So, when there's a situation, I need to put myself in that other person's shoes. Man, that must have been something. Four things. He was inconvenienced. He got involved. And he did not just, it was not just a one-time act. What did we say agape love is? It volunteers. What was it? We said it was five things. It volunteered, no matter whether or not the other person asked for it or not. Did this man ask for his help? No matter whether he deserves it or not. No matter how many times I have to repeat the act. And number five, no matter how much it costs me. This is it. This is where the rubber meets the road. One of the greatest things we can do as a congregation is look for opportunities to agape. I find there's a need, I have the ability to do something about it, and I'm going to do something. Yeah? defined as selfless, unconditional, and sacrificial love in these verses. He said, picture these three. The priests, the Levites, they had the law, they knew the scriptures, something like us. They just looked and didn't get involved. And this transcends social and cultural boundaries, because who's to say that the same people that beat this man up were out around the corner to beat this Samaritan up? The Samaritans' actions are significant because Jews and Samaritans were known to have an animosity toward each other, even today. Even today. Israel, Palestine, Russia, and Ukraine. Israel and Iran. Animosity. They're talking about peace, a peace plan. Listen, the United Nations are not responsible for bringing peace to the world. The military, the U.S. government are not responsible for bringing peace. Who is responsible? Jesus is called what? Prince of Peace. You cannot give what you don't have. Isn't that right? Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Is it verse 1? Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Someone read that for us.
I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in the manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Yeah. That's Christian. I, therefore, the person of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, to walk worthy. What's walk? What does walk mean?
Lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. Walk worthy. So Christ himself has come to rescue us from our sins. And I'm just saying, bring your lifestyle in line with your new status. Worthy the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, that's humility, and gentleness, with what?
Long-suffering.
What does long-suffering mean?
Suffer long.
You're going to have to suffer a long time. You're going to have to put up with me. I'm going to have to put up with you. Long suffering. Bearing with one another. How? In agape love. Bear. What does bear mean? Bear means to make elbow room. Yeah? See, all of us are at different maturity levels as Christians. And so, in order for the other person that just sitting next to you, for your neighbor, to become what Christ wants them to be, I've got to be long suffering. So to allow them room at the table to grow up. Yeah, like a child. You know, Johnny is still wetting his baby. So mom says, listen, if you need to go to the bathroom, go now, and then tomorrow he's got an accident, she don't kick the child out. Does she? No, she's gonna have to be long suffering. So, likewise, we have to be as well, long-suffering, in love. He says, endeavoring to do what? To keep. What does keep mean? What's another word?
Maintain.
To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of glue or peace. And so Christ has come and bought peace, and it's our job to keep the peace. Because peace is hard to come by and easy to lose. So when a new person comes into this organization, into this family, spiritual family, it is our job to help them to understand and listen, we will not allow you to threaten the unity and peace in this spiritual family. And so they have to look at us to see, because you know what people do? They will look around and see, if they're doing it, I'll do it. And And if my behavior is not in keeping with the scriptures, guess what they're going to do? They're going to do likewise. So it is our responsibility for all of us to maintain this peace, because it is that peace, that bond, that will keep us together. So peace. You cannot be a peacemaker unless you are at peace with God. Are you at peace with God? You cannot have the peace of God unless you are at peace with God. And so that began at the baptistry because of Jesus' act of agape love. That's the point. And so, this Samaritan, helping a Jew, highlights the unconditional nature of unconditional love. See, the most unlikely person helped the most unlikely person. Huh? The Samaritan was hated by the Jew, but he helped the Jew. Huh? Even today, in 2025, you hear all in the news about how Israel is bombing up Palestine, and it is a tragedy and ought not happen. But there are still some Palestinians and Jews that get along with each other. Yeah? So it's not all bad news. There are still some good people on both sides. People that not only know the scriptures, because you think in the world sense, they say Israel is God's chosen people. No. The world. Huh? That's not true. That was true in the past. Israel is no more special than any other nation in the world. And the world needs to, that's not anti-Semitic, that's the truth. God gave all those promises to Israel, and he kept all those promises, and they were all fulfilled. You see? Because John 3:16 says, for God so loves not just Israel, the world. And we must remind ourselves that don't buy into man's concept. Love must transcend all things. And so you've got the Israeli prime minister. He clearly doesn't know this Bible. He clearly doesn't know this Bible, because the Bible says, vengeance is mine. And then what the Bible says, I will repay. It's not your job to get even with people. That's not my job. Because there will be a judge. And there will be a judgment, and God will not make a mistake. I may suffer, because the scriptures say I must do so. I may suffer in this lifetime, but I know at the end of all of this, if I do what this scripture says, I'll get what God promised. And so, love is what? Not just feelings. Love is an action. Sometimes my heart has to catch up with the action. I may not love your behavior, but I've still got to love you. Because I would want you to do the same thing for me. Easy to say, hard to do, isn't it? It's hard. Sometimes you gotta love people from a distance. And so the Samaritan acted on his pity, demonstrating that agape is about deeds and commitment, not just emotions. Don't let your emotions get the better of you. Because if Jesus acted on his emotions, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. Father, is there any other way that I can do this? But he said, nevertheless, not what? Because my mind's saying no. But I'm gonna trust you on this thing, Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. And so, this agape love expects nothing in return. Nothing in return. That's all. Because you know, sometimes we have a transactional mindset. And I hear this a lot, especially among Christians. If I give more to God, he's going to give more to me. That's not necessarily true, because God is not interested in he's not interested in the whole bunch of people. Because the Bible says, for God loves a what? A cheerful giver. As a man purposes where? In his heart. So you can give God everything. But he earns everything. So if he already earns it, what you giving him? You ever thought of that? God earns everything. He just lets you hold on to that stuff. Huh? You are just the, what's the word? The manager. You're just overseeing this stuff for a season. So, God wants our hearts. See, because you can give, your heart's not in there. You're not just going through the motions. That's why when the Lord's Supper, we partake of the Lord's Supper, says, let a man examine himself. It's not, see, you're not examining yourself to see whether you're worthy to eat the Lord's Supper. Did you know that? Because none of us are worthy. If that was the case, the tray would go up full and come back full. It means consider your motive. Why are you partaking this Lord's Supper? God has been good to you all throughout this week. All throughout this week. Yes.
That passage you just quoted.
Yes.
Just supporting what you say.
Yes.
Let a man examine himself and eat.
And yes, that's it. That's it. So he's expecting us to come to the table. And the problem in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 was the abuse, the attitude, and they were taking the Lord's Supper as a common meal. Yeah? And so the Samaritan didn't expect repayment. He didn't say, listen, I spent 150 pounds taking you in this hotel, and you owe me. He didn't expect recognition or a change in the man's feelings. Now, just imagine, in Bermuda, where I'm from, population's less than 70,000 people, and they got gang shootings in Bermuda. Can you believe that? Young men riding up and down on bikes, helmets on, and shooting people. Two people killed just recently. And so, you have to believe that most people know most people in Bermuda. So imagine, George, you're the ambulance driver, or you're the person working in the back of the ambulance, and you've got to come to the scene, and there's your cousin, right there, shot and wounded. And you've got to go and pick that person up. Huh? Or you know that person. And you say, that's the same God that my cousin wrote. You gotta pick him up, render aid to him, take him back to the hospital, watch over him, and the police officer that's gotta guard his room probably knows that person, or knows somebody that knows that person. And you're a Christian. What you thinking? Man, I'm gonna call somebody. Guess who's down there? Wait for him when he comes up. But you can't do that. This is real. This is real. Senseless. These people know each other. They're related to each other. But this is what we've come to. And so, this Samaritan, his love was what? It's freely given. What can we learn? What can we learn? First of all, compassion requires action. The Samaritan didn't just feel pity, he acted. Bandaging wounds, transporting the man, paying for his care. True love is practical and sacrificial, not just emotional or theoretical. And hypocrisy is condemned. The priests and the Levites, despite their religious rules, failed to help. This critiques those who prioritize rules, status, convenience over mercy. Faith without works, the Bible says as well. What is mercy? What is mercy? What is mercy? What is mercy? When you stand before a judge, you want what? Especially if you're the one in the wrong. But if somebody wrongs you, what do you want? We want justice. He parked his car in this spot. He knew this was my spot. I told him, and he keeps parking over here. You better find him When he just said, weren't you just here last week? And now you're the one in trouble. And the judge says, I'm going to throw the book at you. No, no, no. I got a good excuse. I can explain. He says, no, it's too late. Mercy. That's what God gave us. And so the Samaritan didn't question the man's worthiness of how he ended up in this situation. He simply helped. This teaches us to offer grace and aid without prejudice or conditions. And personal sacrifice is also a part of love. The Samaritan gave his time, he gave his resources, the oil, the wine, and money, and risked his own safety on a dangerous road. Loving others involves inconvenience and cost to ourselves. And also, it's the call to imitate. Jesus' final command, go and do likewise, makes this a personal challenge. This story isn't just a nice tale. It's a model for how we should live, actively seeking opportunities to show mercy. The Jewish culture, the priests and the Levites represented righteousness through adherence to the law, yet the Samaritan and outcast embodied true righteousness through his actions. And so, you know, we can become impressed. I come and I tell you, oh, I'm the minister. I'm the minister. But there's something beyond that that you need to see. You need to see something. That's Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. What's the first fruit of the Spirit?
Love.
Why do you think love? Why do you think love is just there by accident? Why love? What's that? Without love, that's what 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the songs of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What is it? You've heard stories about priests and church scandals and this and that. We're not immune. The church is not immune. But it starts with us. Because the folk outside are watching us. And you know what they're going to say? You've heard the expression, and you call yourself a Christian. Well, I can explain. It's too late. Yeah? Romans 5 and 8 says what? What does Romans 5 and 8? But God. But
God
demonstrates. Huh? I'd rather see a sermon. Huh? Every last one of us are walking sermon. When you go to work, when you go to school, when you get on the bus, when you're at the barber shop, at the grocery store, at the salon, you are a walking sermon. Whether you like it or not. Yeah. See, when you came into this building today, you don't know who saw you. But somebody saw you. It's not who you see, it's who sees you. You may knock on a door one day, they knock on the door. Hi, my name is Gary, I'm from the church. Oh yes, I see you going in that building every Sunday. Yes.
Thank you so much for your teaching. I was just thinking while you were teaching about the mission of the church, which one of the basic mission of the church is evangelism. Is that a suggestion now? Like, I think it would be, I'm sorry, like what I'm about to say is just different from what you're teaching, right? But it's just a suggestion to you and probably for the church as well. So I think that if the church should carry out that duty of evangelism, there should be topics we should actually know, like should be grounded in like the basic topic that makes us the Church of Christ, which is the pillar and the foundation of truth.
Yes.
So I was just thinking of topics like either of the Holy Spirit, for instance.
Okay.
Things like issue regarding tithing, issues regarding speaking in tongues, issues about when a brother or a member in the church begins to act disorderly, how do we address that and how do they get restored? There are so many foundational topics I feel we need to know. I'm not saying what you're teaching is not right, it's perfect, it's good, but I feel like if we have to achieve that major end, which is evangelism, we should be rooted in certain topics, especially at the level where most of us are. So my suggestion would be if you could really, maybe after this topic, which is a very beautiful, lovely topic that you're teaching, maybe go back to those foundations. If maybe the church would need more people that are grounded, invite preachers. I know some of these topics as well. But I think it would be very beneficial for the church. That way, if we go out to preach, we actually know what we're going to preach. And we can be confident to say, tell people, this is the what we've got. This is and then I think it would really make a big change in the church. So thank you for your topic. I'm sorry to go outside the topic, but I was just thinking.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Well, we can tie those two things together. So the church, we just recently appointed men to different ministries. And Brother George is responsible for worship and we've got, is it education? Education. So he's got a whole list now of subjects that we can teach on, you see? And absolutely right. So we need to understand the basics. So when people ask a question, that's 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart, be ready always to give a reason for the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. So when a person asks a question on the doorstep, we ought to give them book, chapter, and verse. So we will take that under advisement because these are the things that we need to know. Because the world is going to ask us those things. And why do we believe what we believe? These are subjects that we all should have already answered to. And may God grant us great wisdom and peace in believing just that. Yes.
How do Mary walk and things with you? The Lord of Christ of Christ in the writing.
I like that.
I have my scenarios that will put before us right now, because one of them is teaching about medical line.
This one?
Medical. Okay. I'm asking to now.
Yes. Yeah.
In the ethics, some countries allow the doctors to attend to patients while the nurses will take the better stance. In the case you put, take a child to the hospital, and the child is not in temperature or is in a critical situation, most times the nursing only take the other side and I tell you that's where the road stops.
Yeah.
They can't go further.
Yeah.
And the child, the person dying. Some that have compassion will come to you.
Yeah.
They gain the love and tell you, take that person away from the spirit to another hospital.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people that will not do it, they end up putting the person to die there.
Yeah.
So these are scenarios that have issues with as a Christian. How do you marry them together? Whereby you want to obey God and you also want to obey the ethics of all place.
That's a good question, because you've heard of cases, and especially here in the UK, depending on the, because of social medicine, the NHS, you will get a certain level of care, but you also can pray for private medical as well. It's been my pleasure serving you and teaching today. I pray that something has been said to encourage you in your Christian walk, and may God give you great strength and wisdom as we go through the presence of this week. Let's pray and ask God's blessing. Father,